Welcome to Hungry Dads, your guided tour through the delicate and often overwhelming balancing act between food indulgences and social acceptance. And now, as always, here are your hosts, Rod Budget and Hugh Gallen.
Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Hungry Dads. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen. Hello, hello.
And before we get started tonight, I wanted to talk a little bit about our website. We're obviously a podcast, and I think we've done some good updates and some cool stuff on hungrydads.com, kind of rehashing things we've talked about, and there's also some new and unique material up there. We have a specific reviews page that goes over all the reviews we've done to this point, and also some friends of Hungry Dads, some links to some of the websites we've mentioned in past episodes, some new websites we haven't mentioned, food-related stuff, some non-food-related stuff, just things that we find interesting and cool. So definitely go to hungrydads.com when you have a moment and check it out. So back to the podcast itself, the audio version that you are listening to. I think Hugh has some add-ons to last week. He wants to expound on his juicing experiment.
Yeah, in episode 24, I played some clips from a sort of audio journal that I kept while I was doing my three-day all-juice diet. When I put those clips together, there were some of the recordings that were cut for time. I thought I'd play a few of those clips and a few of those outtakes tonight. Here's the first one.
9:45 a.m. at Trader Joe's, buying various fruits and vegetables. Also picked up a bag of potato chips in a unique flavor that I will use as a reward at the end of this juicing project.
Okay, so the chips that I got were Trader Joe's potato chips with South African-style seasoning. You know how I love to read from the bag? The bag describes these as, potato chips with South African-style seasoning starts with our popular ode to the classic potato chip. The seasoning begins with paprika that's blended with chili pepper, sea salt, garlic, basil, and parsley. This spice blend is traditionally used to grill meat, fish, or poultry at a braai, African for barbecue or grill, a social custom in South Africa. But we think it works beautifully as a potato chip seasoning as well, and we hope you do too.
Wow. Sounds like a Lay's Do Us a Flavor submission.
I tried these soon after I ended my juice diet, and you wouldn't be surprised to hear that they tasted very good. So that could be my review. I ate them after 3 days of not eating anything, and they were delicious, but I don't think that's probably a fair test. So I've been eating these chips over the last week with the intention of putting together my review. And I struggled a little bit in making my final review. I definitely like the taste, no doubt about it. But I wasn't craving them in that eat the whole bag in 2 days kind of way. And it's not that I'm exercising restraint, trust me. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out why these tasty chips don't have that addictive quality I'm used to.
Is there any sugar in the chips? Because I know with me, if something sweet has that little sweetness to it, that's when I really, really want more.
That's exactly it, Rod. That's the theory I'm working off of. So these chips most resemble a barbecue chip, but with one notable exception, exactly what you said. There's no sweetness to it. I checked the ingredients. There's no sugar. Compared to a barbecue chip, which I also checked like online, and there is definitely sugar as one of the primary ingredients and sugars in the nutrition label, as opposed to this where no sugar is present. So yeah, I think that sugar, which you, Rod, identified in episode 6 when we were actually talking about soda, you identify that addictive aspect of sugar when it comes to soda. But the same goes for snacks. So it's not surprising that my Trader Joe's South African-style potato chips were consumed more slowly than, for instance, a bag of potato chips. So is that a good thing or not? Is the fact that they weren't so tasty that I wanted to constantly eat them, is that a benefit or a detriment to the chip?
I guess if you really like them, it could almost be seen as a benefit. I don't think I can relate. I'm trying to think of something where I really, really like it, but I don't always want to go back for more. And maybe if something's really, really filling, it might keep me from going back and back, but it doesn't sound like that's the case, so it sounds like a really unique situation.
Well, here's my final take on it. We here at Hungry Dads are about balance. So while the lack of sweetness is ultimately a negative for deliciousness, the chip also lends itself to a more responsible consumption, and it's a pretty tasty chip. You can either call that a tie or maybe a win for the balance factor, considering that I was actually eating them over the week and enjoying them, but with a handful, I didn't feel the need to go back to them. And that's a different experience than I've felt with a lot of my favorite potato chips. While I enjoyed them, I would not bring them to a party because I don't think they're an immediate crowd pleaser. But if I wanted some chips that would be around the house that I figured I could pace myself on, yeah, these actually would be a reasonable choice.
I didn't know there were any South African chips out there, and now I do, so I think that's a benefit to myself and our listeners just from that aspect. Who knew that there was South African-flavored chips? It's funny, they do really sound very good.
Yeah, and they are really good. I mean, all those flavors that are mentioned, sea salt, pepper, garlic, basil, paprika, those are all delicious things. But it is surprising. Without that sweetness to set it off, there is a distinct difference in the way that I want to eat these as opposed to a normal barbecue chip. And I think that's true of a lot of foods. I mean, there's sugar in foods we don't even realize. We don't even realize that that's what makes it so gosh darn delicious. Again, from the Hungry Dad's perspective, you've talked about the addictiveness of sugar. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's obviously a bad thing for health, but we're not all about health. We want to enjoy ourselves too.
Hungry Dad.
So another outtake from my 3-day juicing audio journal was some thoughts that I had about chimps. And fortunately, I decided to record it, so let's listen to that.
2:40 p.m. I just got done making another juice. I think one of the reasons you lose weight or it's considered healthy is because you spend so much energy making the juices that by the time you've made it, you've burned every calorie you might get from drinking it. Actually, not unlike some anthropology studies about chimps and why man evolved by eating things like meat and high-calorie and fat foods, because chimps spend all day foraging and all day eating that they end up burning all the calories they take in. They can't progress past that. And man, on the other hand, started eating meat, was able to harness those calories of fat and be productive with other things than getting food.
I'm glad you played that clip because I assumed you said chips and now I know that you said chimps.
Yes, I had some thoughts about chimps and I listened back to that now of appropriate state of mind and it definitely sounds a bit like the ramblings of a man woozy from low blood sugar and who's not exactly thinking straight. And it's true, I went off on a thought in a moment alone in my kitchen and I'm glad I did, but I'm not sure it made a lot of sense. So I wanted to play it, and I wanted to explain it. It happens to be an actual anthropological finding. Anthropologists determined that humans' diverse diet, especially back in the caveman days, is one of the things that allowed man to evolve. First, it was dense and calorie-rich meat that gave early humans a more efficient energy. Eventually, there was time in the day for them to do something other than eating. Make cave drawings, make wheels, and also actually cooking food. And cooking food was this other food-related thing that contributed to evolution itself. This cooking caused food digestion to be even more efficient and allowed calories and nutrients to get into the body with less food. And there is less hunting and less gathering and less chewing and less digesting. This allowed man to, again, make his cave drawings and his wheels and have culture and technology and then a renaissance and then ultimately iPhones and must-see TV and YouTube and podcasts. And I'm starting to ramble as much as I did when I was only drinking juice. But my point is, food, which we have dedicated ourselves to, really is the start of it all. We can thank food and the choices that man has made with its eating for everything we have here today. Thank you, food.
So my question becomes, with this podcast about food, we're using our free time from food to talk about food. We're kind of turning the wheels back around and going backwards in evolution, perhaps, because we're using our food free time to analyze and obsess about food.
Yes, Rod, you and I are absolutely closer to chimpanzees than the normal human being.
Hungry Dad.
So in addition to Hugh's juicing audio journal last week, we also presented the first annual Foodie Awards. Tonight, I want to stick with the movie theme, albeit in a different and more practical, everyday sort of fashion. The Foodies got me thinking about going to the movies, which is something I really don't get to do very often anymore. But more importantly, it got me reminiscing about movie snacking, which is a rather intricate and complex snacking scenario. So tonight I want to share my thoughts, feelings, and some insider tips when it comes to the world of movie theater snacking.
Welcome to the movies!
And right off the bat, before I dive too deeply into the details, we have to address the obvious situation with movie concession snacking. The absurd prices you're going to pay for everything. Yes, they're ridiculous. But you know what? They've been this way for 25 years or more. It's not shocking or surprising to me anymore. It's the same as going to a sporting event or a concert. You're going to pay more for the food and the snacks. And you know what else? This is going to seem a little absurd and, you know, potentially controversial, but overpaying is kind of part of the excitement for me in a sick and twisted sort of way.
Oosh.
Now hear me out here. First of all, I rarely go to the movies these days, you know, maybe 2 to 3 times a year. If I went on a weekly basis, I wouldn't be excited about overpaying. But more importantly, I'm excited about the overpaying because I know on the other end of those markups is a giant, giant heaping serving of whatever I want to get, and potentially an unlimited supply of the snack, which I'll dive into a bit more later when sharing some actual movie snacking strategies. But I wouldn't be excited about overpaying for a tiny portion. So maybe it's a combination of the overpaying and knowing that I'm going to get absurd amounts.
I think that's it. I think the reason why you don't mind paying that premium is because you're going to get that obscene amount, and it's not often you get to do that, and the movie theater almost forces you to do that. You don't have a choice, but it's a choice you end up kind of being happy with.
Yeah, it's a treat for sure, and I know going in it's going to be a treat, even though I have to pay a premium for
it. It's kind of like a ballpark hot dog. When you're at the ballpark, I don't think those hot dogs actually taste any better, but something about it seems special, and yes, it costs $10.
So now that we've addressed and acknowledged that we're paying an absurd amount of money for these, I want to give you my rod budget thoughts and tips on where it makes sense to splurge, some other movie snacking strategies, and even some covert movie eating opportunities. So let's start off talking about overall movie snacking strategies. First off, there are some people who like to sneak in their food versus buying it. I'm not a big fan personally, but I see where it does have appeal on occasion. So let's talk about it, you know, in a general sense, and then drill down. What should you sneak in if you're going to sneak it in? Soda is pretty much a no-go. You can't keep it cold. You might fit a can or a bottle into a pocket, but it's not going to be enjoyable. It's not going to be cold. I don't think it's worthwhile. Popcorn also isn't really feasible. Again, you could maybe do a bag of cold popcorn, but it's going to be too much trouble, and it's not going to taste very good in the first place. If you're going through that much trouble to sneak something in, and it's not going to really taste that good, it's probably not worth it. I think candy is probably your best bet, but that's the least marked up item, so you're not doing yourself that much of a favor from an economic standpoint. However, you can bring in your favorites. Maybe they don't sell your specific favorite kind of candy at the movies. You can go that way. Snuck in candy is not going to last very long, especially if it's not a jumbo size, so bring multiples if you can. And candy can be messy, so if you do sneak it in, go ahead and get some napkins at the concession stand for that chocolate that might be melting in your pants. And that brings me to the pants. I'm not a big fan of sneaking things in, but if you are, this is a rod budget tip. For men, you're going to want to wear cargo pants or cargo shorts with the giant pockets and the legs. You want the big pockets. You want loose pants. You don't want to be sneaking things into tight pockets that are kind of the traditional near your hip pockets. It's going to be hard to get those out. You're going to be noticed. Coats, if it's cold outside, definitely wear a coat with lots of pockets. If it's not cold, don't wear a coat. You're going to draw attention to yourself. Purses for women, I think that's okay. I think that's a pretty common one. But don't bring in large backpacks or book bags. I did some research and it varies by theater, but some of them do say on their websites that they will search backpacks and large bags. And you don't want to be the guy caught with, you know, a bounty of candy in your backpack. It's going to be embarrassing. They're going to take it away. They're going to pour that soda out right in front of you. And you're going to be like doing the walk of shame into the theater.
It's funny when you talk about sneaking the food in, the first thing that comes to my mind is my mother. My mother was essentially a saint in every way and was a rule follower, as am I. But one of the rare things that she would do that was a clear violation of the rules was sneaking food into movie theaters. And I mean, she was a master at it. Not only would she save money by bringing things in, but she would save money by preparing little baggies at home. She wouldn't go to the store and buy a bag of M&Ms for, you know, 50 cents or a dollar. She would actually make up baggies of raisins and peanuts and M&Ms in a Ziploc, or I don't even think she would buy Ziplocs. I think she'd buy normal baggies and tie it off with a piece of yarn, and that would be our movie theater treat. And this is what would get into the theater. And I always got a warning before we went in, which was, don't stand in line and ask for your snack because we're not allowed to have it. We don't want to get in trouble. I remember remarking to myself, if it's not allowed, how are we doing this? I mean, my mom is supposed to be teaching me right from wrong. And it was one of the rare times where I feel like I was encouraged to join in on a conspiracy or a lie with my parents. And I actually got really nervous in the movie theater line with this situation, to the point where now I'm with you. I don't sneak food in. I'm actually scared to death of the whole scenario. I have one memory of they actually checked bags and purses. My family and I were going to see Dances with Wolves, and they checked the bags, and I was scared out of my mind because I knew that there was a bag of peanuts and raisins in my mom's bag. Somehow, by a miracle, they let us pass. I don't know what happened, but I was a mess.
That's actually the one thing about sneaking in that I do like, and this is similar, I think, to going back to episode 10, our Halloween episode, where on Halloween I kind of get amped up to try to get some extra candy from the unattended cauldron. I think the sneak in is a similar feel. It's wrong. Hey, if you ever get caught.
And forget just getting into the movie through the movie line. Once you're in the theater, I always feel like there's an usher over my shoulder and he's going to see me with that unauthorized food. I can't enjoy my food or my movie with that kind of monkey on my back. So I'll just go by the rules. I'll buy my popcorn, I'll buy my snacks on premises and enjoy them guilt-free.
Even Kevin Costner's masterful performance in Dances with Wolves could not be enjoyed by one Hugh Gallen.
Welcome to the movies!
So now that we've got the sneaking in strategy out of the way, I want to go over some just overall strategies for optimal movie snacking enjoyment when you are buying things at the concession stand. First of all, this might go without saying, but go big or go home, folks. If you're at the movies, you're going to be splurging. You're spending a lot of money anyway. Just get the free refills. Get the jumbo tubs. It's the classic example of you pay 50 cents more and you get twice as much. Don't come up to me with some tiny bag of popcorn that you paid $4 for instead of an unlimited amount of popcorn that you paid $5 for. It's just ridiculous.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Secondly, arrive early if at all possible. Get there as early as you can. Even if the specific theater screen isn't open yet, you can go to the concession stand. You can get that unlimited popcorn and unlimited soda. Go eat in line. Get going, folks. There are about 6 or 7 previews before every movie now. People complain about the previews or too many commercials, too many previews. This is snacking time. This is prime eating time, especially with the free refills. You can finish a bag of popcorn and certainly a soda, maybe 2 sodas if you're going completely nuts before the movie even
starts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the sense that my belly's basically full with the opening credits. I know I've gotten my money's worth. I've been through a round and a half maybe. I've got a little bit to snack on, but my initial cravings are over. And then I even know that towards the end of the movie, I might
have room to go back for more. Digest. This is much more practical, but I don't think it's any less necessary. Don't be afraid to ask for sturdy drink holders and multiple refreshment carriers. These are giant, giant items you're dealing with. I run into this a lot if I'm with one person and they save seats while I go to get the refreshments, and then I have like 4 tubs of things and drinks balancing on shoulders and elbows. Be sure to have everything organized before you leave to walk towards your seat. I've seen a lot of tragic spills and popcorn flying everywhere.
It can be a perilous journey if you're not prepared.
Next, and this one's a little more of a subtle tip, I think, but very important. Before you go into that theater, into the specific theater where you're seeing the movie, scout out the nearest restroom. This is important. If you do need a bathroom break from drinking the unlimited soda, you're going to want to get in and out as soon as possible. You're going to want to know the direct route. Similarly, sit on or near an aisle. Some people want to be in the very center for the movie, for the special effects, to have a better view.
Bah!
This is about eating, folks. You want to be close to that aisle in case you have to leave for whatever reason, whether it's a refill or whether it's to relieve yourself. You want to be in and out like that.
Welcome to the movies!
I want to speak specifically to some covert movie eating opportunities. When you're with someone or maybe you're with a group of people, I think you can still pull off some covert things if you don't want to be seen as just a complete pig. First of all, a movie theater is dark and loud, which is inherently a great covert environment. You can't be seen that well. You can't be heard. So what you're going to want to do is you want to be patient. Don't start in on any covert items. before the previews or movie begins and it gets really loud in the theater. You're asking for trouble if you go too soon. Another point is go for gummies or something that's not too crunchy just to be safe. This kind of goes along with waiting until the movie gets dark and loud. But you want to be as covert as possible and not make any noise. And you're going to want to try to work the packaging if you buy candy or bring candy from a cargo pocket. And you want to sit it on your seat, kind of covertly snuggled against your leg. You can try between your legs, which is more covert, but that's a bit risky. If someone notices you reaching kind of between your legs throughout the movie, that might be a weird look. And this is going to be a judgment call. If you're with somebody who wants to hold hands when you're trying to pull off a covert eating, you just got to make that judgment call. If it's a date and you're not that into it, I think you don't hold hands. I think you go for the snack. I think, you know, you kind of want to send that signal early anyway. So enjoy the snack, hold off on holding hands. If it's someone like a wife, you might want to consider holding hands versus the covert snacking for your own sanity.
Yeah, the covert snacking is really a scenario, I think, that in my experience at least, you know, there's a middle period. Early dating, I would not be brave enough to even attempt a covert. Later dating and marriage, I don't even feel the need to be covert. But there was a middle area there where I was comfortable enough to try it, but didn't really want to illustrate exactly how big my appetite was. So, yeah, I think I would probably, you know, buy a candy kind of if I had the chance on the sly, and then eat it kind of on the sly, although it's risky because if you get caught and you're accused of not sharing, so you may be with a larger group. The covert eating in the movie theater is it runs a high risk. A lot of times the movie is after a dinner, at which point you shouldn't be interested in eating more. So it's a tough play to say I want the unlimited popcorn after you just ate a full dinner. I've done it, but it seems to require some justification.
Well, Hugh Gallen, I have one last specific covert suggestion for movies that I think might be somewhat foolproof if you're careful. And this is the fake bathroom run during the movie. If possible, you can try to pull this off before the movie even starts, but it might raise some eyebrows. It's better if you're in a movie, hopefully a movie you're not really into that much. No one will notice if you take a soda cup with you. Always try to sit on the aisle or closer to the aisle. That's a good tip. You can even possibly down an entire box of pourable candy before going back into the theater.
Absolutely.
Your M&Ms, your snow caps, your Raisinets. You can drink these in like 30 seconds. Be very careful for chocolate on the face or sugar breath. Sugar breath might not be a concern because you're probably already having soda and your breath's probably already very sweet. But if you're on a date or you're with your wife and they want to smooch and you haven't had a lot of sugar, don't go for that right after drinking a box of Raisinets. You know, the fake bathroom run, if the movie is bad, if it's long, it's a bit of an art form. Here's my rule of thumb. If you're thinking more about food than the movie itself, if you're sitting in that movie and your mind is drifting to food and daydreaming, you've got to go for it. You've got to go for the covert run. If you're still in a movie, maybe you don't need the covert run. Or even better yet, maybe we need a Hungry Dad's quotient for movie snacking versus movie enjoyment. I think that would be ideal.
Well, I would love to try to crunch those numbers, and I'm willing. I will say I might not be the right mathematician for this job because there's a reason that I do a podcast about food instead of about movies. And that is because, by and large, the movie experience for me is about the food. I'm fine with movies, but I don't love them. I pretty much look forward to the eating at the movies far more than the movie itself. 9 times out of 10, I'm taking every opportunity to enjoy the food at the expense of the movie with no regrets. So I'm just not a movie guy at its core. I'm a food guy at my core. So my quotient, if I were to create it, might have a huge skewed factor.
Not surprisingly, I'm the same way. And Hugh, I think the next time we're together, we should go to a movie and just buy concession stand snacks and hang out in the arcade and just eat.
I'm in. That sounds like the perfect day.
Hungry Dad. Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dad's production. I like I like the chimpanzee ramble.
Sounds like a cool dance, the chimpanzee ramble.